keyboard player for that. So when you get some time, just look him up and just see the work he's done. But he walked past. He walked past me. He stopped me. And I'm a fan. You know, I know who he is, but you know, I'm not that type of guy to be howling people.
Right.
And he stopped me. He said, "Man, I know you from somewhere." And I was like, "No." He's like, "I think I seen your video or something you playing, bro. You're an animal, bro." He's like, "You want to play tonight?"
Whoa.
And I was like, and I was like, "Bro, I don't know no songs. I didn't come here to play. I really came there to see what it takes to be on the next level."
Right.
So many classes were happening. John Gray, Aaron Lindsay, Warren Campbell,
lots of names.
It was Israel Houghton. It was so many people that were doing classes. So I was just like, I want to go. And he said, "Do you want to play, man? Tasha Cobbs needs somebody to play for her and stuff." So I was like, a
big name in the industry.
All right.
Yeah.
And so I played. And the following year, fast forward, they called me to be a part of Deeper. So the year, fast forward to a year later, my stamp and my moment was Israel came in 15 minutes before the show and said, "Hey, CC Wine, we're doing something for CC Winers. We need somebody to play and learn Alabaster Box. We're not using the tracks. We're using the band."
Yeah.
And so when it was like, who, everybody looked at me. Aaron, Paris, Leonard Ray, Kevin Camp, Justin Rains, all they said, the new guy. And so I had to learn Alabaster Box. And if you know that song, it's not CCM song.
It's
like you really have to sit there and learn verbatim what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's 10,000 people out there. I have to learn the intro, the outro, the key change, just like the record. For the artist.
For CC.
With the feature of Tasha Cobbs, because we're honoring the artist.
Right.
And so I was scared. My dog almost peed myself. And I only had 15 minutes to learn the song.
Pressure.
And right then 15
minutes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. 15 minutes. That's crazy, man.
I had 15 minutes to learn the song. Israel will tell you. We had to put him under the fire. And that moment when I finished playing Alabaster Box, that moment of relief and all of the homies like, "You made it in."
Yeah.
Was like, that was my moment. That was my
That's an incredible story.
Yeah.
It's hard not to believe in higher powers when you think of, you know, that moment happening for you just off of a random, you know, instance of you wanting to go to that conference. No reason. It's not because you're like, "I'm going to blow up from this. I just want to be there."
Yeah, I just want
to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah,
right. That's so true, man.
That's incredible.
You're talking about the intention of things. So one thing that we've talked about a lot is intentionality and the lack of. And we know with the social media world, is everybody's. I shouldn't say everybody, but it seems that people are just after the attention, and it's like a me, me, me. Look at me. And in the cases where people really hit it off, like in your situation, you showed up there, I don't want to put, almost like in a desperate place in some sense, I'm sure, right? Like,
seriously.
You need money, you need opportunity, and everything else is kind of connected. And you're just like, "I just want to learn. I just want to
draw from resources." I was just at a place of just being better. I was just just
and
wanted to be better.
There's like a pureness coming from that. Like, your intention was to grow. You're going to put yourself in a surrounding. And, you know, we do that all the time, whether it's like self-help or music, or it's like, I want to be around the people who are doing what I want to do. So that's where I got to put myself, regardless of sacrifice to get there. And then from that intentionality, you get hit with this opportunity, which is like, now it's a test of everything that you've been kind of working towards and hoping to be. It's like, well, here's your shot. A lot of people would be like, "Nah, man, I'm not ready for that yet." And that's it. You don't hear
that. That's
name.
The definition of luck, right? Like, it's that opportunity and preparedness. You happen to be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, it just works out. That's beautiful. 15 minutes, though, to work on that song.
Yeah, man.
That'd be terrifying.
Wait, so what happened in between? So in that year from that initial conversation at the conference to then now a year later where you get tested again. It's like, you thought you were just going to play. You thought you were just here for this. Nah, you got to step up and do this whole other thing.
Yeah, man. I had to, man. I had to step up. And then they actually called me to start going on the road with Israel because Leonard Ray, which is a close friend of mine as well, he got a call to do Tori Kelly. And so he left to go do Tori Kelly. And this is around the time Tori Kelly is massive. You know, right. she's
yeah.
like,
yeah,
being, she's on Pepsi commercials. She's, right. you know, yeah, she's, yeah. she's the new thing. And so I started going out, and man, from there to now, it's just been a crazy roller coaster, man. It's just been like, years, right? yeah, man, years. Like it's been like really like 10 years of going nonstop. I went from Israel to Ty Tribbett. I actually met Ty at that conference.
The same one.
The same way. And man. Paris introduced me to Ty.
Wow.
Wow.
And it was just a lot of people don't know that. And we That's were playing, crazy. We were jamming out the church, and Ty was just like, man, who is this guy? And Paris was like, yo, this is my little bro right here, man. Y'all should meet, da da da. Yeah. And so he was like, man, let me get your number. So I was like, cool. I think about a month later, I get a text message. I'm in a rehearsal for a live recording. Yeah. And I get a text message and it says, yo, D, what's up? And I'm like, who is this? He's like, yo, this Ty Tribbett. And I was just like, what? He's like, man, give me a call. And he's like, give me a call when you get a chance. I was in rehearsal.
Yeah,
right. I got up.
You left.
And I said, hey, y'all, I had an important phone call real quick. Let me go outside and take this call. And the rest is history with me and him. He got that phone call, and it was just like, yo, man, let's do lunch. And he's like, you in Orlando? I said, yeah. He said, I'm in Orlando. I said, man, let's do lunch. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's something, man.
And then that led to so many other things. So, but,
you know. Now I'm like, I mean, each one of these situations, like these instances would have blown your mind. I'm sure that wasn't the last. So what's like, I don't want to say the biggest, but okay. So let me ask you this way. So when you kind of, I guess you get used to the feeling, like I'm sure the first time was like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
Was it constantly that same, like, this is nuts all over again? Did you continue to feel that?
It did. And then it kind of numbed down because it started becoming my norm.
Like you're
right. It started becoming normal for me to be with and befriend some of everybody's favorite artists.
Right.
You know, I started seeing a side of the artist like, oh, they like me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, they do like Shrimp and Grits. Oh, you know, this one. Oh, they do like, you know, a glass of wine. Yeah. Like, you know, so it started becoming a norm. And once it became a norm, it's like once you get in that club, it's like everybody knows you. And it's like, yo, what's up, man? Yo, what's up? Like, it's a normal thing for me now. Like, I've had Fred Hammond FaceTime me at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? So, and, you know, and, but then I do have my moments where a lot of times I pause and I'll be like, whoa, you know, don't take this moment for granted. Like,
right.
God really puts you in a place of, you know, comfort with these people. And I think that's my biggest gift besides music is being a friend. Because there's times where I've shared secrets and they share secrets with me and it don't leave. You know, I don't be on social media. Hey, y'all, look, I'm at this person's house. Or look at this. Right. You know, I play basketball with a few celebrities to this day, like twice a week. Yeah. And if I did this, you know, people would be like, oh, well, you do this. But then it'll make them uncomfortable. Exactly. So it's you know, a lot of people can't handle that. So it started becoming a norm for me. In my life, you know, but I don't take it for granted. But, you know, when I do meet people or they, you know, oh, what's up, D? Oh, what's up, D-Lo? People are like, how you know? I'm like, you know, those are my homies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it just becomes a normal life.
Yeah. Yeah, that
but perspective is important. So every now and then you do still go back and go,
heck yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, heck yeah. I'm like, oh, wow. Like,
oh, man.
All right. Wow. They're my friends. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I could really call them. I could really text them. You know? Yeah. And so I do give God reverence for that and thank him for that. You know what I'm saying? So,
That's huge, man. Going back to the way this kind of all started for you, it's... To me, it really teaches me a lesson, and anyone else aspiring to get to a level is to, you know, there's a quote right now where people are focused on the bag and they're really focused on trying to make money. And you were always, from when you started, I'm just trying to learn.
Yeah.
And I feel that your opportunity fell into your lap because you had that perspective and approach starting out, and you weren't chasing money. You didn't say, I was broke and I needed money. I needed to work for money. You were like, I want to go there and learn. And look what happened. And I wonder if you could maybe share with our audience the importance of, because I also find that making music, writing music, when you write it from a pure organic space, only good things can happen from it, and you appreciate the art form more, you know. And I was wondering if you could maybe share with people how you've been able to continually rise and level up without ever really chasing the bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or for me, I enjoy the process. Like,
right.
There are some people who get a kick out of cooking because they love the process of cooking. Have you ever seen somebody cook a full meal and then, but don't eat?
The time.
You know, I'm like, Mom, why don't you eat? Oh, y'all eat.
Yeah.
They enjoy the process of cooking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And making
and
sure
the sharing of
everybody else.
You, right? Watching the enjoyment on people's
faces. I love the process of making things and then letting everybody hear it, the final product you see in their faces. Like, that's what gets me, you know. People hear 2 minutes, 3 minutes of something that I've worked 2 weeks on, you know what I'm saying? Or 3 weeks on. It's just like, I love that process. So I just, man, I love the process, number one.
Right.
Not many people want to get to the bag and don't understand that it takes, you have to walk before you run. You gotta learn those things. So, process for me, man, is my biggest thing, man. Like writing and trying to get to certain things. If you keep thinking about it, if you keep trying to chase that, the longer it's going to be, you know.
Right.
And one thing Ty taught me was we did a record with Fantasia called I Made It that our co-producer wrote. And it was on Good Morning America. And when it was on Good Morning America, I cried. I couldn't even hold my tears. I couldn't even hold my tears.
I can imagine.
And because, you know, I've never, to see hundreds of people on the TV and knowing millions of people are singing this song and dancing to it, it pierced my heart, man. Like, I was just like, wow. And I called Ty. And I was like, man, bro, it's on Good Morning America. My wife was rubbing my back. It was like a moment of me being, like somebody being drafted to the NBA or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was like that moment. I was like, whoa. And these are the words he said to me, and it pissed me off. And he said, he was nonchalant, man. He was like, cool. And I was like, what you mean? And at this moment, me and Ty has a great relationship. Like, brothers, you know what I'm saying? So I was like,
yeah.
I was like, what the hell do you mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, celebrate now, tomorrow forget about it, and keep working.
Right. Keep good. Working. That's beautiful.
And I was just like, dog, it's on Good Morning America.
I made it.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm seeing the biggest thing with me, I saw all colors, black, white, Hispanic. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, all ethnicities, like, just dancing. They were jamming. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that did something to me. And so it pissed me off when he said that. But later on, as weeks went by, it took me a while. I'm not gonna lie, it took me a while.
A minute, yeah.
I realized, and so I have this thing of me where people mention what I've done in my career, and I don't feel like I accomplished much. Like I to this day, I still don't feel like I've scratched the surface, and I feel like I have to. It's something in me that won't let me settle. And so it's like, okay, cool, thank you. And I just like, okay, I'm working. I got to get back to the drawing board. Or I go back and listen to the records, and I'm like, oh, that was terrible. Why did you make that choice, D? So I'm the biggest critic of myself. Like, I'm always trying to enhance something. There is a movie that's out right now. Most people don't know it, but I'm a big, huge Predator fan. And so, yeah, I'm a nerd, by the way, a little bit. In the movie Predator, all of his series, he's a hunter, but he's always figuring out how to better himself. Mm. He's always studying what he's hunting.
He's always studying
what he's hunting. If you look at the movie, like the movies, whether it's the one back in the 80s or 90s and the ones that are current, you know, he's looking, he's analyzing, he's then doing this. Yeah. And where there are some failures at, other predators are gaining that information and saying, okay, I can go hunt this way now. Get what I'm saying? Right. And so, in turn for me, I'm always analyzing my prey and what I'm trying to chase. I'm always analyzing, like, okay, cool. How can I be the perfect producer? How can I be the perfect arranger? How can I be the perfect this person? And when I'm listening, I'm not just listening, I'm studying. So I'm like, okay, why did he do that? When I'm listening to live arrangements, I'm like, okay, they put an orchestra here. Why? Okay, the drummer didn't play during the verse. Okay, why is that? Like, I'm a why person. That's a lot about me when it comes down to your question. You know, I'm always analyzing and trying to get better, man.
Man, that's...
That's impressive. So much, and that's probably so why you're in the position you're in.
Oh, man.
Right, yeah. And you're going to keep growing to higher heights, if it's even possible. For some, it's like, what else is there, man?
When he said, I barely scratched the surface, man, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
That's what I feel, man.
How big is your shovel,
that's
man?
Good, though.
Yeah, man. That's amazing.
Yeah, man.
That's amazing. You talked about a couple of things that I wanted to ask you about, too.
Okay.
Process, which is huge, and relationships. So... as a musical director, right, what is your process for preparation? And I know that could cover a lot, but maybe specifically to your personal preparation and then also to preparing the band or the group that you're working with. And maybe even touch on like band selection.
Oh, most certainly. My preparation is I study the artist first. I try to figure out, I go on his social media, do homework if I'm not already following them.
It's deep already.
Yeah, and then most people are like, oh, you probably don't do that. Where anybody who know me knows by the time I get to the artist, I know them very well.
Predator paid off.
Yeah, it did. It really did. They need to give me a check. Nah, I bet you it's a whole bunch of people
want to watch plug, it. His plug.
I sit there and I listen to the music for a couple of days. Right. And the crazy thing is, I don't listen to music like that. When on my free time, I actually drive, just windows down, no music. Like, I really don't even listen to music like that anymore. It tanks my creativity sometimes. And then whenever because when you're listening to something, that's what your brain analyzes.
So if
I'm in a creative space, I want to be me. Now, there are sometimes I do listen to certain things that may get me like, okay, get my jumpstart me, because I do have creative blocks sometimes. Yeah. But, that process is listening to music thoroughly, listening to them. And when I get their goal as an MD, I normally have a crew. And normally the guys who I pick, from my band Red Camp, they pretty much can do anything, you know. Yeah. So, but they have the same mindset as me. It don't even start with skill first with me. It starts with right here. Like, are you going to learn the music? Are you going to come in drunk or high? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Those things matter because I'm not trying to be in rehearsal long. And I'm trying to make the rehearsal sound like the gig or give the artist a view of what is going to sound like.
Yeah.
Band choice is definitely plays in. There's some times I look at some of my guys and I'll be like, that's not their strong point. So let me get this person. And those guys are some of my best friends. So I know how to separate my friend hat and my business hat. And so I fired and not called some of my bestest friends. And they've had attitudes with me, but I still had to do what I had to do because this is a job. My process of emptying, preparation, if I'm running playback, if I'm running stems, I try to do it a day before. I'm quick now and know my system, so I can do it the day of, depending on who it is. If it's someone new and I've never dealt with before, of course, I take the, you know, if I got to leave Friday, I take out, you know, Wednesday and Thursday and just kind of make sure to put it together and do all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's my process, man. I listen sometimes, even with arranging, I listen to, like right now, I got a song with Pastor Mike on his new album. And it's James Brown meets Bruno Mars. And so, it's very interesting. People are like, but when you guys hear it, you're going to be like, crap. All right, that's what's up. But for 3 days, all I did was listen to James Brown. For 3 days, all I listened to was Bruno and a touch of Morris Day. And so I was just like, I need to bring this song to life like that. I need the elements. And so after listening to it and getting my system, I took a day off. No listening to nothing. So when I got in front of my computer, everything started coming like, boom, 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 boom. Okay.
It's almost like cleaning your palate before.
Exactly.
You. Okay, right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Fill your body up with it. Then, you know.
Yeah.
Release it, and then it's like, okay, now I feel good. You know what I'm saying? Let's go ahead and do it. So that's my process.
So a very sophisticated music listener. So when you're listening to a song or listening to these artists, because obviously you're going to go through their catalog and listen to probably different time points in their career and things like that. Mm-hmm. How would you explain, like, what are you really listening for?
I'm listening for the nuances. And I mean by this, Ty and Fred Hammond, two different artists.
Yeah.
Fred loves Rhodes. Ty loves piano.
Right.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Ty loves, I'm noticing his key range, Fred's key range. There's certain chords Fred likes. There's certain chords Ty like. Ty is more of an aggressive piano player. Fred is more of a passive, clean, soulful player. And so when I'm listening to artists, I'm listening to all the nuances. I'm listening to, you know, the flavor, their keys, their songs they like to sing. I had to sub in for Trent one time for a TVN show for Donnie McClurkin. And I went online and just seen where his hymns, what are the go-to hymns he like. You know, even though I know hymns, everybody knows Donnie pull out hymns. We don't even know. But there is, every artist has a formula. And so I listen for that. I listen for their formula. I listen to, what it like. Even when I was, you know, playing at church consistently and preachers would come in, I know what type of preacher they are. Now, it's not like that all the time. But if it's a big preacher or somebody I know that's very anal musicians, I'm definitely going to see what's up, you know. And so,
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's, yes, sir.
Man, that's so much to unpack.
Yeah, that's man.
man. Okay, I got to follow up with this now because we're still on preparation.
No, you're good.
I hope you don't mind. I'm kind of like man, just picking
your
brain.
Man, do your thing, man. Man.
This is cool. Okay, so you listen to the music. Uh-huh. These are, let's just assume that you've listened to a whole bunch of studio albums, right? Mm-hmm. This is for a live arrangement. I don't know how much you can give away in this short time, but how do you go from studio versions of a song to the live arrangements? I won't even make you go into like the full show because that might be a lot. But
no, just taking
one song. Okay, let's talk about it. Whatever you want to share. Yeah, like, full show, one song.
That's a good question, though.
I listen to, and let me back up some. I said okay, I don't listen to music. I don't listen to music frequently, but when I do listen to music, it's for a purpose. Mm-hmm. So let me clear that up.
Okay.
I listen to the record. Okay. I find loopholes. And loopholes meaning little gaps of where I can add my flavor. And so this is what I would ask the artist. Do you want me to remix the song? Do you want me to enhance the song? I think it's important for any arrangement.
Can you explain that difference, though? I'm really sorry to cut you off. But when you say, because to me, an enhancement, a remix is, it could be an enhancement. But you seem to have a very specific distinction.
As musicians and producers, we can do an arrangement of a song and it doesn't sound like the record. So remixes, meaning, I got you. You know,
got you.
What I mean by, like you're flipping, you're doing chord changes. To the artist, that's like nail scratching a chalkboard to their music. It's like they don't want that. I'm like,
Unless it's dope.
I hear all of these arrangements and people doing, they don't want that. They do not. It's like too much for them. You got to think, we're blessed with an ear that certain people can't hear things. And so the people who can't hear what we hear is confusing. So you have to know how to not make things confusing for them. And it could be the simplest line like, they don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just saying, boom, we want to do, they don't understand that. And to them, that's like, okay, bro, I don't even like this no more. So it's important to ask the artist, how far you want me to go? Because there are some artists like Ty who is musically, he gets it. Then you have some artists that don't understand that stuff. You know, like, you know, Martha McNenzie, like she loves band stuff, but her and Ty is two different artists. And so I've had to learn to, okay, this is what I ask. It's part of my preparation. Like I ask which one, how far you want me to go? Do you want me to just make it like a TV type of situation, or you want me to like boom, 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 boom? And so I think it's very, very important to have those understandings with the artist, bro. When you're preparing, just know what you want to do. And with enhancing, I just normally find loopholes. And always, you know, one of the biggest thing is I learned, let the verse be clear. I hear so many people and doing so much during the verses, it's like those be the points. Those you gotta let the song be recognizable. And the biggest person that I'm anal about is the drummer, because the drummer can do all kind of cadences that has nothing to do with the song, or he can maybe hit the snare that it's a side stick on the verses. If you you're thinking you're Aaron Spears, and it's like, that was the time Usher allowed that. That was his art. You have to know your room. You got to know who you are, you know, and who the artist and the artist is. So how I do it, man, I just find loopholes. I'm big on transitions. You know, if they want an intro, I get straight to the point. I may do it. I accent everything that's on the record. So there may be some things that you never hear. But when I do my live arrangement, y'all hear it like, oh, that lick was cool. Well, that lick was in the app. It was on the record. All I